This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com. Today we are discussing an interesting topic. An interesting topic of what's called, come on guys, what's it called? Kiddush Hashem. It's called Kiddush Hashem. And it's very similar to a Mishnah that we learned. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says that a person should find a way which is Tiferet Lo'oseha. It brings glory to the person who does it. How do you bring glory to something you do? And the answer is, it's called Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem means making Hashem's name great in the world. It's a very, very important idea, making Hashem's great in the world. How do we know there's a mitzvah to make Hashem's great in the world? Because we just said it in yesterday's parasha. Emor, parasha Emor, it says, "Benikdashti betoch bnei Yisrael." You will sanctify me in the midst of bnei Yisrael. You will sanctify me in the midst of bnei Yisrael. How do we do that? We say Kaddish. You say a person says Kaddish, they're sanctifying God. When we say Kadosh, 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 that God is holy, you're sanctifying God in the midst of bnei Yisrael. There's a minion of there.
Rabbi Danik said the same thing yesterday.
Very good.
That the angels, we're like angels, and we say Kadosh, Kadosh, and did I remember it right?
Yes, because we copied it from Yeshayahu Navi. Yeshayahu Navi says the angels are saying Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Yeah. So okay. We are copying them, and we are saying the same words.
So what's the word again?
Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. V'nikdashti b'doch Yisrael. You will sanctify me. Sanctify me.
You started off saying two words.
Kiddush Hashem.
Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem. Sanctifying Hashem. Sanctifying Hashem is a very, very big mitzvah. But what's the concept behind sanctifying God's name? We say this in the Ubal Etzion. Anyone over here know the Ubal Etzion? The second paragraph of Ubal Etzion. Baruch Elokeinu Shebaranu Lichvodo. Blessed be Hashem who created us. Lichvodo.
In His honor.
In His honor. Lichvodo. We don't really realize. Our job in the world is to give Hashem honor. So how do we give Hashem honor? Kiddush Hashem. We're going to discuss what is Kiddush Hashem. When people say, wow, look at that Jew. He's amazing. He's so honest. Halavai. He's so honest. He's so ethical. He's so pleasant to be around. Oh, that's very good. Halavai. And say, wow, what a tzaddik. Like Shimon ben Shetach. It says Shimon ben Shetach he bought a donkey.
Right.
From a donkey, from an Arab. He bought a donkey from an Arab. And his students went to pick up the donkey and they said, Rabbi, it's your good day, it's good fortune. He said, why? There's diamonds in the saddle. We found diamonds in the saddle. He said, I didn't buy diamonds, I bought a donkey.
Right.
Give back the diamonds. So he gave back the diamonds to the Arab, and the Arab said, praise be the God of Shimon ben Shetach. That is Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem is when a Jew acts ethically and people think, no, Jews are amazing. There was a true story in Poland, in a lazy train station. You hear the story?
No.
In a lazy train station, it's a very small train station, and the guy selling the tickets was very bored. You know what he did? He played around with people's change. Some people gave extra change, some people gave less change. He just wanted to see people's reactions. And of course, when he gave less change back, people came back and screamed at him and shouted at him.
Right.
And people came, but he gave more change, no one came back. What happened? The Jews in the town went to ask the rabbi. Rabbi, he's giving extra change. Can we keep the change or not? The rabbi said, on no accounts you're allowed to keep the change. Give it back. So he saw all the Jews came back with the extra change. It's amazing. He said, these people don't deserve to die. He started hiding Jews, the Nazis. Wow. These people don't deserve to die because they're honest people. So,
true story.
I think it's Rabbi Kamenetsky in Near Israel.
The Holocaust time?
Who was the rabbi. Yeah, Holocaust. Talking about before the Holocaust. So he was the rabbi at that time who said, don't steal from non-Jews. He has no permission to give extra change. He's stealing from the company and therefore you have to give it back.
Right.
So important lesson. But Moshe Feinstein says when he got, in those days, not all the, you got postage, you got mail. So if the stamp was franked, skinnish. But sometimes they forget to frank the stamp. And people peel off the stamp and reuse it. They stick it on, right? Moshe Feinstein, you just take the stamp and tear it up. That's how honest he was. Last cent. That is Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem is being honest. Someone asked me, a very, very good girl in the shul, she asked me. Sometimes she's on New Jersey Transit, and sometimes they forget to pick up the ticket. What do you do? Do you have to rip up the ticket? Or do you let, you have to tell them, you didn't pick up my ticket? So I told her, it depends on the New Jersey Transit policy. Find out what their policy is. So she found out the policy is, if they don't pick up your ticket, you can keep it. So then there's no issue of ripping up the ticket or being, you know, you're honest. You sit there, you put your ticket out. He didn't take your ticket. Sometimes they don't take a ticket when the train is packed. Mm. That's their policy. They want to give you a free ride because the train is disgusting. It's packed like sardines. Wow. So therefore, so it's interesting how she asked. Look at this girl, young girl. Baruch Hashem, we have tzadikim. We have tzadikim in our, thank God, there's tzadikim in the shul. Thank God.
It's like Rabbi Biudanik, when he takes stamps from Avos Achim for personal use, I always find, whenever I see like a loose dollar or two on my desk when I get it in the morning, I know it's because Rabbi
Baruch Hashem, it's very important to be honest and ethical. It's very, very important, especially the rabbi. Especially the rabbi.
Does it matter whether the people know you're Jewish or not when you're doing whatever it is you're doing?
It's better if they know you're Jewish. So even if they don't know, so you, like the guy who gave back the, what is it, $50,000 in the drawers, and he found he bought an old desk. Mm-hmm. Right. Says, by the way, I'm Jewish. The only reason why I'm giving it back is because I'm Jewish. Ah, it's in the newspapers. The Jewish man gave back because of his belief in God. So he wanted to make a Kiddush Hashem. Mm-hmm. Make a Kiddush Hashem. So that's Kiddush Hashem. So first I want to give you a few stories from the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz is a true story. Chafetz Chaim writes, he said, I see in the works of the Arizal, if a person does not do a mitzvah with fear and awe of Hashem and love of Hashem, the mitzvah doesn't go up. If a person doesn't do a mitzvah with the right intentions, the mitzvah doesn't work. It's like, I'm like a robot. You're doing a mitzvah like a robot. You're going to have feelings. Why are you doing the mitzvah? My father tells me, go and do something. I'm doing the mitzvah, I don't want to do it. I have no feelings of love, no feelings of this. So my father feels that he's not doing it because he loves me, he's just doing it out of rote. The father doesn't get very happy, right? The father likes it when you're doing it because love you. Daddy, I love you, I want to do it for you, I fear you, respect you, but otherwise the parent doesn't feel like you're doing the mitzvah for him. So same thing Hashem. The Chafetz Chaim says, I learned this in the books of the Arizal, when a person does a mitzvah, they got to do it with love and awe. There's no love and there's no awe. It doesn't go up. And then he says a story. Say one second. We didn't finish. So that's what he saw. He said, I got terrified. When I saw this, I got very scared. Then he says, I remember a story. Great story. Look at this story. He said that it was before the First World War. Chafetz Chaim lived before the First War and after the First War. He passed away in 1933. Lucky. And he was an old man, very old man. So he saw that before the First World War, there was a baker in his town. And every time he saw the baker had a very sad face. So what's going on? Why are you always sad-faced? He said, because when I bake the bread, this person comes in, they feel it, they touch it. It's not fresh. This is too crusty. This is too soft. This is not baked properly. All the complaints. And then he says, during the war, I saw the baker. The baker is a different person. He's happy. He's smiling. I said, what happened to you? No, he said, before the war, everyone started complaining. There was so much bread, they could go to a different store, they could buy bread everywhere. Now there's a shortage of bread. They just come into the store and grab whatever they say on the shelves. They don't ask questions. And they pay more. He's happy. Chafetz Chaim says the same thing applies to our mitzvot today. In the time of the Zohar, when they wrote this down, you've got to do a mitzvah with fear and awe and love. That's when everyone's doing a mitzvah properly. Today, no one's doing mitzvot, and therefore Hashem grabs any mitzvah that you do. So any mitzvah we do, very, very powerful. Anything we do, any good deed we do is rewarded tremendously today because there's so many people not doing them. You know, you keep Shabbat. You know how big it is? People don't realize. Yesterday in the Eurovision, I don't want to say it, but there was a lot of Chilul Shabbat. In fact, there was a Kiddush Hashem. What was a Kiddush Hashem? There was a group called Shalva. Have you heard of it? They were, they're blind. Blind, disabled, all kinds of disabilities, and such a good group. I don't know if you're allowed to listen to it because it's Kol Isha. You're definitely allowed. You guys can definitely listen to it. But I don't know if a man is allowed to listen because it's Kol Isha. It's women singing.
Shalva? I thought that was the Kol Isha. They're running in the voice.
So what they did is they refused to be part of it because they didn't want to break Shabbat. Imagine. Kiddush Hashem. That's a Kiddush Hashem. When a Jew says Shabbat. Shabbat for me is
male-female group?
I don't know. No, I think it's just, I don't know. I don't want to get involved with that aspect, but for sure, they didn't work on Shabbat. They said, Shabbat, we're not going to be a part of this. So that's a Kiddush Hashem. So we're just going to talk about this topic a little bit more. Okay. So what happens? So he says another story. The story is about a yeshiva boy. A yeshiva boy went to see the Chafetz Chaim. He's from Mir Yeshiva. Went to Radin. I don't know how long the train journey was, but when he got there, he was very, very tired. He was exhausted. He gets there around midnight, and he's sitting next to someone on the train, and this guy says, listen, it's midnight, you're not going to be able to see the Chafetz Chaim, he's not going to open the door, he's going to be sleeping. Come spend the night with me. Can you imagine, what a guy, nice guy. So he goes to the guy's house, and the guy says, have some dinner, you're starving, you're famished, have some dinner. He said, but I didn't pray Arvit yet. I didn't say Shema, I didn't pray. He says, listen, don't worry, I'll be your shomer. So the halakha, which is, if I didn't pray Arvit yet, I'm not allowed to eat. I cannot allowed to eat till I say Shema in the evening. You're a man. You're a man. Mm-hmm. A woman can eat, no problem. But a man can't eat until he says Shema. So what does he do? He has to get a shomer. What's a shomer? Someone else to remind him to say Shema. So I'll be your shomer. So the guy says, okay, he eats and he drinks. Now it's time to go to bed. He goes to his room. He says, now you can pray Arvit. He says, really, I'm... But he goes into a room, his room is freezing. I mean, shivering. His bones are rattling. He can't. He said, I'll go under the covers and I'll pray. And when it comes to the Shemona Esrei, I'll get up and stand up. So he's under the covers and he starts, Arvit, hu rachu mechaper avon, velo ya'ir. Go sleep. He slept the whole night. He wakes up in the morning, he's fresh, he gets up. He forgot. He missed Arvit. Forgot. Gets up in the morning, goes to pray, Shacharit. And then he goes to the Chafetz Chaim. And the Chafetz Chaim tells him a story. He says, you know, there's a boy, he was very tired and one night, and he forgot to pray Arvit.
You're whispering, I can't hear you.
The Chafetz Chaim was whispering.
Oh.
He said, you know, it's not my fault, I'm just telling the story the way it was. So the Chafetz Chaim was whispering, you know, there was a boy, and last night, and he was very tired, and he forgot to pray Arvit. And the guy says, oh God, it's me.
That was right.
Man, he has Ruach HaKodesh, you can tell. Imagine. So he forgot what he wanted to ask the Chafetz Chaim. He was so flabbergasted, you know, that he said. So he quickly left the Chafetz Chaim and went to pray Shacharit twice. If you miss Arvit, you can pray Shacharit twice. So he said the Shmona Esrei again for Arvit. So the Chafetz Chaim told him off. Imagine the Chafetz Chaim. He said, listen, today Hashem pays attention. If a person's religious and they don't do a mitzvah, it makes a big impact in Shemaim. Why? Because there's so few people doing mitzvot. Hashem is waiting for his prayers. And he didn't pray properly. Imagine. We don't really realize. The more we need to pray, Hashem is waiting for our prayer. Imagine. A guy skips a prayer. He says, well, okay, what difference does it make in the world? And the answer, it makes a big difference. That's what Chafetz Chaim is telling him. I know that it's a mistake. How? Because Chafetz Chaim knew Hashem is waiting for his tefillah. Imagine. We don't see this. Imagine. Chafetz Chaim could feel Hashem is waiting for this boy's tefillah and he didn't pray. Imagine. Think about it. Hashem is waiting for your tefillah. Boy, that's powerful. The person says, you know what, I went to shul late today, I missed Shacharit. So what big deal? The answer is, Hashem missed your tefillah.
Right.
You didn't miss it, but Hashem missed it. So that is kind of Chilul Hashem. When a yeshiva boy misses a tefillah, that's a Chilul Hashem. Because he's a yeshiva boy. He should know better. So that's an amazing concept over here. So Chafetz Chaim says another thing. Gives another analogy, another story, he says. In times of plenty, if you find a little penny on the floor, especially if it's in the mud, what do you do?
It's nothing.
It's worth nothing. I'm not going to bother. But he says, in times of trouble, when there's no money,
then you
can pick it up and you wipe it and you clean it and you take it and you use it. Why? Because now it has value. So the same thing applies today, he says. In the time where everyone was doing mitzvot, Hashem, hey, what's a small, you know, big deal? Hashem says, I don't need this small mitzvah. You don't have covenant concentration. It's like a dirty mitzvah. I'm not interested in it. But in a day where there's no mitzvot, people are not doing mitzvot. So now every mitzvah Hashem values, even a dirty mitzvah, even a mitzvah done with the wrong intentions, with the wrong. So it's a very powerful statement how important it is to do a mitzvah today. Very, very important to do a mitzvah. Don't think, a person should not think, this mitzvah is not, I didn't do it properly, I didn't do it with the right intentions, I didn't do it with love, I didn't do it with, or a person should do the mitzvah, just do the mitzvah. In fact, I remember when I was a young boy in yeshiva, I was in Gateshead Yeshiva, in the worst place in the world. I hate it. I hate the most. Gateshead.
Really?
Gateshead, London, England. Gateshead, England. Why? It was an old coal mining town.
Oh, forget.
And the people there are low class. You know low class is? Low class. Every Motzei Shabbat, remember, they would come to fight Jews.
Still?
No, I'm talking about the coal miners. They're a coal mining town. They go to drink, and they come to beat up Jews.
Oh, my God.
If you walk on the street, you're fair game. They'll beat you up.
Years ago or now too?
When I was a kid, I don't know. I'd never been back. I don't want to go back. Not going back there. Plus, it was a very dreary town. because summer is only 1 month, and the rest of the time it's all cloudy and rainy and cloudy, dark and depressing, very depressing town. Only thing about it, had a big yeshiva, that's all. And amazing, because you could hear the yeshiva around down the block. Because they're screaming, the boys are learning, and they're screaming, and you can hear the noise down the block. Imagine the goyim are going mad. Imagine, yeah, there's yeshiva over there, so every Motze Shabbat, I would hear, they come to the town, beat up the Jews, beat up the Jews. Imagine. And there'd be a big shout in the yeshiva, let's go fight these guys, they're going to hurt the people. It's crazy. Yeshiva. And I don't go back there. Had very bad memories, but the yeshiva was great. Yeshiva was a great yeshiva. There was a lot of people, they had nothing else to do. The boys had nothing else to do. And therefore the boys learned 16 hours a day.
Wow.
So, who was the mashgiach at that time? Rabbi Matityahu Solomon. He's right now in Lakewood, he's very famous.
He's still alive?
Yes, he's still alive. He was a very young mashgiach. When I was there, I was young, and he was young. He was maybe in his late 20s, early 30s. And I was 18, 19, and he was the mashgiach. So the first class he ever gave in the yeshiva, I remember, he was the first brand new mashgiach. I was a brand new student. First class he ever gave was, he says, just do the mitzvah. Don't even think the quality of the mitzvah. Just do it. Because Hashem desires a mitzvah. It doesn't matter how. What kind of quality? Obviously, if you could improve the quality, obviously, but obviously just do the mitzvah. The main thing is to do it. I had a guy over here. He used to come to shul. And one day he asked me, he says, Rabbi, he says, I only come for the kiddush. Should I still come?
Yes.
And the answer is yes. Because why? You're doing a mitzvah for the wrong reasons. B'toch shelo lishma b'lishma. The main thing is to do the mitzvah.
But isn't it giving encouragement to be careless in the way you do mitzvahs?
No, what he's saying is, don't think. A person, you know, people start, they're very, very ethical people. I don't want to be a hypocrite. So I'm not going to do anything. Right? He says, don't worry, hypocrite, not hypocrite. Just do the mitzvah. The mitzvah will change you. I got a great story. Oh, this is a great story. This is a great, great story. Amazing story. This is in Rabbi Pesach Kron, Tales of the Maggid, right? So you heard this story, amazing story. He had this guy, a religious man, and he has children who are secular. He has a boy and a girl, totally secular. So he said, listen, I'm going to leave $3 million for you guys.
Yeah.
I'm going to give...
For who?
His two children, his son and his daughter.
Is this a true story?
True story.
Because Crone is, yeah, okay.
True story. This is a true story. I'm going to give my son $1.5 million. $1.5 million, my son. $1.5 million for my daughter. But if my son will say Kaddish for me for the whole year without missing one Kaddish, he'll get $2 million. And the daughter will get $1 million. Okay? So he's going to get $500,000 more if he says Kaddish the whole year. The son is totally secular. He says, 500,000. I'm going to go shachrit, mincha, and arvit, say Kaddish. I'm going to say Kaddish. I don't care. I want to make 500,000. So every morning he doesn't pray. He goes, no tefillin, no nothing. He goes there for the Kaddish. When is the Kaddish? What time is the Kaddish? I'm going for the Kaddish. Goes for the Kaddish and leaves. Mincha, he goes for the Kaddish. The rabbi gives a shir in the middle between mincha and arvit. He goes outside. He's on his telephone, he's texting. Call me when the Kaddish is. Comes back for the Kaddish, goes outside. That's it. Goes Kaddish. His sister suspects that he's going to miss. She puts a private detective on him. It pays, right? It's $500,000. He said, no, I'm not going to miss a single Kaddish. He said, look at this now. What happens now? The sister goes to the rabbi of the boy. And the rabbi of the shul where the boy would come to say Kaddish. He said, listen, he's not saying Kaddish because he wants to say Kaddish. He's only saying Kaddish for the money, right? So when next time, don't call him in next time. You know, he goes out, after Mincha he goes out, you give your class, and you go and call him to come and say Kaddish. My detective told me, you're the one who called him in to say Kaddish. Next time, don't call him in, and I'll give you $100,000.
Yeah.
I'll give the shul $100,000 if you don't call him in for the Kaddish. This way he'll miss the Kaddish, I'll get $500,000 more, and I'll give you $100,000 for the shul. So your shul needs the money. So I says, shul needs the money. It's 100%. I need that money. Let me go and ask a rabbi what to do. I don't know what to do. I never heard a question like this. So he goes to Rav Steinman. Right? Who's Rav Steinman? You remember Rav Steinman? Very, very great rabbi. He died when he was 104 or something. Amazing, amazing. He would travel around the world, do Kiruv at the 90s, in his 90s. Man, man. So he lived in a little tiny little place. Amazing. One bed, one chair. Amazing. I mean, how these people live. All they thought about was everyone else. They didn't think about themselves. Anyway, so he asked him, Rabbi, I have an opportunity of a lifetime. I want to make $100,000 for the shul. The shul needs the money desperately. He tells him the whole story. All I have to do is don't call the guy in. I'm not doing anything. I'm just not doing anything. I don't have to call the guy in. He goes out. He's a chutzpah the man has. I'm giving a shiur. He walks out the shiur. He's on his phone texting and I don't know what he's doing on the phone. And then I go and call him for the Kaddish. If I don't call him, I'll get $100,000 for the shul. What do you think, Rabbi? And I say, what do you think? He says, sure, I should get $100,000 for the shul. No. The Rabbi says, but what about his father? You're thinking about him, but what about the father's pleasure in the next world? Mm. You're going to deprive his father of pleasure in the next world. You're going to take the $100,000. He's not going to say Kaddish. What about the father's soul in the world above? So think about, we don't think about what else is happening. The person misses a Kaddish. Okay, I missed a Kaddish. So for me, big deal, but what about the soul of my parent in the world above? So therefore he says, you're not allowed to take the money, and you have to remind him. Every time you have to remind him to come into the Kaddish. Okay, this continued for like 6 months. Okay. After 6 months, the boy comes to the rabbi. The man said, Rabbi, he says, don't you feel bad when I walk out of your class? He said, listen, the rabbi told him, he said, it's not my loss, it's your loss. He said, what? My loss? He says, yes. In my class, I'm giving out diamonds. And then you're missing all these diamonds. You're missing words of Torah, which are like diamonds.
Right.
So he says, wow, I never heard of that. Words of Torah like diamonds? I say, okay, so this time I'm going to start coming to the class. He started coming to the class. After a year, he was a religious man. So it's an amazing story. So it's really the father's zechut, the father's merit, the father was smart. He says, I'll pay you $500,000 extra if you say Kaddish. Exactly. Otherwise, I'll give it to your sister. So now the father, the brothers and sisters obviously didn't get along very much. He wouldn't mind to give it to the sister. Okay, give it to the sister. Okay. No. I won the $500,000. So that $500,000 made him a religious man. Because
coming
he got
with his sister?
He got into hell. I don't have no idea. But it wasn't a nice thing to do. It wasn't a nice thing to do. Because she just wanted the money. But eventually her brother became... So you see how just doing the mitzvah can affect a person. And that's what he's... That was
he also just wanted the money. It's not
you're right, but look how the mitzvah affected him. He wanted the money. The money was a motivator. And the truth is, how do you motivate people? And the answer is the carrot or the stick. Sometimes Hashem punishes, sometimes Hashem rewards. So I think the carrot is much more effective than a stick.
Sure.
When you help people and
yeah,
you give
them. You take
them
away from one to give to the other. That's, you know,
it's not really taking away. It's the father's.
Like
the father left a will. The father left a will.
Seem.
Okay, it's not really
caused.
Taking away. Anyway, the father's getting pleasure in the world to come. So I'll give you an extra $500,000 because you give me pleasure. Okay, so anyway, I think it's a beautiful story. It's a very moving story, but it just shows how a mitzvah can change a person. Just do the mitzvah because the mitzvah can change a person. So very, very powerful.
Rabbi,
yes?
But I thought that contradicts what you said in the beginning about doing, you know, a mitzvah.
Yes, of course. That's what we said. We answered. We said the Chafetz Chaim says that's only when everyone's doing mitzvot. When no one, hardly anyone's doing mitzvot, then even the dirty coin people pick up, remember?
Okay.
That's how we answered it. So what is Chilul Hashem? What is desecrating God's name? So this is a famous Gemara. The Gemara says in Yoma, Daf Pevav Amad Aleph, the Gemara says, Sha'al Rab Matya ben Charash, came back to the rabbis in Rome. Why did they go to Rome? Why the rabbis in Rome? Because you had to go to plead to the Caesar to break the decrees on the Jewish people. Because Caesar, Mamzerim, there were Caesars. Some of the Caesars were real. Herod. Herod was the king of Israel. But who is the Caesar? Hadrian. Oh, gosh. The Hadrianic persecutions. Oh, gosh. That's why Bar Kokhba came along. Because the Jews couldn't take the persecution of Hadrian. So they had to go to Rome to plead with the emperor. So here's Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the famous Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah in the Haggadah. He's in Rome with Rabbi Matya ben Charash. Two great rabbis in Rome. So what are they doing in Rome? Guess what they're doing? They're walking down the street. And what are they doing when they walk down the street?
They talk Torah.
Talking Divrei Torah. So Rabbi Matya ben Charash asked Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. He says, do you remember the class that Rabbi Ishmael gave of how to do teshuva? How do you do teshuva? He said, yeah, I remember. There's four different levels of teshuva. Number one is, if there's a positive mitzvah that a person forgot to do, for example, a person didn't say Shema one day. Positive mitzvah, say Shema. He forgot to do it. He does teshuva and he's forgiven on the spot. How do you do teshuva?
Say the Shema.
Regret. What are the process? Let's go. Regret.
Promise not to
do it again. Regret. I won't do it again. And to admit. First, you got to admit. Admit, regret, and promise you won't do it again. And not repeat it again. Mm-hmm. And to withstand a trial. That's number four, is withstand a trial. So he's forgiven on the spot. Positive mitzvah, forgiven on the spot. Negative mitzvah. Give me an example. Don't speak Lashon Hara. Negative mitzvah. Guy broke it. I spoke Lashon Hara. Bar Minan. Terrible, terrible thing to do. Speak Lashon Hara is the worst thing in the world. Speak Lashon Hara. What do you do? Person's got to do Teshuvah. And number two, Yom Kippur. Teshuvah and Yom Kippur, forgive it. Strict mitzvah, where there's karet. Person ate chametz on Pesach. Bar Minan. Person ate on Yom Kippur. Karet. Person had relations with an Ida. Kare, all these are very, very strict mitzvot. So three things. Teshuvah, Yom Kippur, and suffering.
And what?
Suffering. Uh-huh. Okay? The fourth one is the worst. Chilul Hashem. Desecrating God's name. Four things. What are the four things? Teshuvah, Yom Kippur, suffering, and death.
How do you suffer? How do you suffer? All the time.
You get a cold. Guy can't breathe. Suffering. Person's sick, suffering. A person puts some money in his pocket. This is the best one. You put your hand in your pocket to get out a quarter and you get out a nickel. Now I've got to put my hand in again. It's not the trouble. For me, most suffering, you know the biggest suffering is? Waiting at a traffic light.
I say that.
That's a suffering. Okay, that should be the best suffering. All of us should all suffer like that.
Yeah, that's right.
Highland Park, the worst. You get a ticket. Oh, that's suffering.
That's
suffering. All that suffering. Last Friday, PSNG. Do you remember? The lights went out. So that's suffering. You want to cook for Shabbat. You want to do this, and you can't.
It's a pain in the neck.
It's a pain in the neck. Okay, that's suffering. That is called suffering. That's it. So many kinds of small suffering, Bezrat Hashem, not one big one. Many kinds of small suffering. So, but you see, Chilul Hashem is the worst. So then the Gemara says, what is Chilul Hashem? Amar Rav. Rav says, Kagon Ani, me, Rav, the great rabbi, if I buy meat from the butcher and I don't pay him straight away, the butcher will say, the rabbi didn't pay me. He's a robber. He's robbing me, and if he can rob, I can also rob. That's Chilul Hashem. Chilul Hashem is the greater the person, the more the Chilul Hashem. If a person is caught, unfortunately, even rabbis sometimes are caught doing hanky panky bad things, it's Chilul Hashem. It's in the newspaper. The more people that know about it, the bigger Chilul Hashem.
Right, unfortunately.
So that's Chilul Hashem. Rabbi Yochanan says, if people see me, you know, there was a great rabbi in Israel, his name is Rabbi Sheinberg. Have you heard of Rabbi Sheinberg?
Yes.
He would have 18 pairs of tallits. He looked like a big fat guy, but really was a skinny, small man. Imagine walking around with all these tallits on. Well, he wanted to do extra mitzvot. I want to do an extra mitzvah. I'll wear an extra tallit. I wear an extra thing. I want to do an extra mitzvah. He wears tallit and tefillin all day long. All day long he's wearing tefillin, his tallit. Obviously, when he needs to go to the bathroom, he'll take his tefillin off.
Half an hour earlier before
he has to. Imagine. But his tallit, you can stay in the bathroom. No problem. You can wear tallit in the bathroom. Just cover it up. So everything's covered up. It's underneath. So anyway, if you see him one day without his tallit tefillin, he says, like, Chilul Hashem. People say, he's not learning Torah. If the rabbi's not learning Torah, why should I learn Torah? So that's what Rabbi Yochanan says. If they see me without my tallit tefillin, without me learning Torah, he will think the rabbi doesn't learn Torah. Even, imagine, all day long he's learning Torah. 5 minutes a day he has a little bit of a break, and people come to see him in his break. They say, he's not learning Torah. You see, the rabbi's not learning Torah, I don't have to learn Torah. That's Chilul Hashem. That can be Chilul Hashem. When people learn the wrong thing from you, that's a Chilul Hashem. Look at that. That is Chilul Hashem. So Chilul Hashem means, what is Chilul Hashem? People think you're doing the wrong thing, and you stand for something great. That's Chilul Hashem.
Yeah, you're a role model.
So we're role models. We have to realize every time when a Jew walks down the street and no people know he's Jewish or she's Jewish, if you don't behave nicely. For example, I was in Rite Aid one day, and there was a guy with a kippah arguing and screaming. Oh boy. What a Chilul Hashem. They had to call the police. Chilul Hashem Lemahadrin. Lemahadrin. Glatt kosher. Chilul Hashem. Well, I don't know, Chas v'Shalom, but it's a terrible thing. Terrible thing that Jews misbehave in public. So a person's got to know, when they're Jewish, you got to behave extra well. Extra well. So, for example, a Jew is caught speeding. First thing you do, take off your yarmulke. Why? Because Chilul Hashem, so wear a hat. You don't have to go around with a yarmulke. So when it comes to Chilul Hashem, a person should try and hide the fact that they're Jewish, because otherwise it's going to be Chilul Hashem. So he brings down a case. This is Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky, very beautiful. He brings down a story. He was once on the bus. He always goes on the bus between Yerushalayim to Bnei Brak. And the bus driver knows him. Ah, Rav Galinsky, okay. And in those days, there were very few religious people in Israel. Very, very few. So he's on the bus, and all of a sudden the bus driver, he's hearing the bus driver screaming, Rav Galinsky, come and see, one of your rabbis is breaking the law. So, my rabbis are breaking the law. He looks around, what's going on? He said a little kid, a 14-year-old kid, came with the yarmulke and got on the bus without paying for it. He came through the back door. You know, in Israel, there's two doors. Yeah. He came through the back door and didn't pay his first ticket. Ah, Rav Galinsky, one of your rabbis is robbing. He said, my rabbis? He said, I'm going to bring all my rabbis on the bus. This way you can give them all smicha and they won't have to go and study in yeshiva. He gave the kid, 11-year-old kid, and now he's a rabbi now. It just shows how people pay attention. So there's four different levels of Chilul Hashem. So one level is a non-Jew sees a Jew. But the next level is, even if a Jew sees a more religious Jew. And the next level is, even if a religious Jew sees a rabbi. Oh gosh, so all these things are levels of Chilul Hashem. So a person's got to be careful. The higher the level a person is, a person's got to behave even better. It says, Am Haaretz hates a Talmid Chacham. Am Haaretz hates a rabbi. Why do they hate a rabbi? It's because the rabbis tell him what to do. He's telling me what to do. And he doesn't do it himself. They always point the finger. It says, Rabbi Akiva said, if I would see a rabbi, I would bite him like a donkey. Why? What's the difference between a donkey biting other animals? Donkeys crack the bones. You heard this before? A few times. It's good, you remember it now. A donkey cracks the bones. So that's
Rabbi Akiva. Why does a donkey crack the bones?
Because his bite is, he doesn't give up. His bone, a donkey is very, very stubborn.
Right.
So one of the stubborn things about a donkey is when he bites, he doesn't stop. Just keeps on going. So he cracks the bones, bites through the bones. So it's the worst bite. So Rabbi Akiva would say that. If I saw a rabbi, I'd bite him with a bone. Imagine Rabbi Akiva would say that. Why? He thought the rabbis looked down upon people. People always have this conscience that people are looking down at me. I'm not so religious, and therefore the religious people are looking down at me, right?
It's true.
Well, it shouldn't be true. It's not true. Not true. Everyone looks down upon people. Some people do. It's not good. God's got to treat people with love. The only way to bring people in is with love. You can't bring people in. You can't make people religious if you look down upon them. That's number one. You've got to love people. We have to love people and bring them in with love. And that is the opinion of Hillel.
Okay.
What does Hillel say? Be of the students of Aharon. What did Aharon do? Let's go.
Ohev shalom.
Rodev shalom. Ohev tabriot. Mikarvan
leTorah.
He loved people.
Say it again.
Ohev shalom, love peace.
Right.
Rodev shalom, run after peace. It's so hard to run after peace. Someone had a fight with you. Let him, heck with him. He had a fight with me, heck with him. What does Hillel say? No. Rodev shalom, run after peace, make peace with him. It's so hard to make peace with people.
Right.
It's so hard. You have to run after them, pester them. Please, let's make peace. Why are you fighting? Let's go. We should be friends. Ohev et habriot. Mekarvan leTorah. Love people and bring them close to Torah. So that's the way it should be. That's the way we should be. And that's the way it should be. And there's a mitzvah in the Torah. The Torah says last week in Parashat Kedoshim, but tzedek tishpot amitecha. You will judge your people favorably. How do you judge your people favorably? If you see somebody who's a good person and you think they did something wrong, give them the benefit of the doubt. It's so hard to give people the benefit of the doubt. There's an amazing story. I don't know if you remember the story. I said this many years ago. Maybe you remember the story. The story is that this woman bought her daughter a beautiful coat. Beautiful jacket. Brand new jacket. Winter jacket. Very expensive winter jacket. And a few weeks later, a few months later, she leaves in school, she forgets it.
Oh, it's in that book, The Other Side of
yes,
the Story.
Yes, yes. Excellent. Remember the story?
No.
Okay, so let's see. Let's see who remembers. Okay, so she buys this beautiful jacket for her daughter. A couple months later, gone. She asks the daughter, where did he put it? Don't know. Must have left it in school. And then she sees in school there's another girl started wearing her jacket. She says, Ma, you won't believe it. This other girl is wearing my jacket. The one I lost. She's wearing the jacket. You sure it's the same one? It's identical. I know, I remember. I had a little rip on inside. And it's over there, and she's wearing it. Oh, gosh. The mother calls the mother of that girl. Screams at her, you know, your daughter stole my jacket. The mother starts crying. No, she didn't. She didn't do it. We got it. Where'd you get it from? We got it from a charity. You got it from a charity? I said, yeah. It's embarrassing. I didn't have to tell you, but you're accusing me of robbery. It wasn't us. We got it from a charity. So you got a charity? How do you get it? How did the charity get it? So they call the charity. She calls the charity. How do you get my daughter's coat? We have a policy. The dry cleaners, if you don't pick up your dry cleaning within a month or 2 months, they give it to a charity. So the dry cleaner, you must have given your coat. Remember? No. Oh, God, now I remember. Oh. I gave the coat to the dry cleaner, and I forgot to pick it up, and the dry cleaner must have given it away to the charity, and the charity gave it to the girl. Can you imagine? Mm. And now the girl is wearing my daughter's coat that I thought my daughter lost, and I accused her of robbery. So that's how far we got to go in the benefit of the doubt. It's so hard to give the benefit of the doubt. But you see how sometimes it's the total opposite picture of what it could be.
Right.
You think the guy is a robber and a stealer and this and that, and he got it from you. No, he didn't get it from you. He got it from a charity. Can you imagine? Think about it. Wow, it's scary. So there's a mitzvah in the Torah to judge your friend favorably. It's very, very important to judge other people favorably. So we shouldn't. That's why the rabbis made a law called Marit Ayin. What is Marit Ayin? Marit Ayin is, don't do things that will be suspicious in the eyes of people. For example, on Shabbat, you're not allowed to go inside someone in a store. I don't want to buy anything. I'm just going to see. I'm just going to wish the storekeeper hi. I was walking down the street on Shabbat, and this guy leaves me, and he goes inside the cafe, and he says, hi. I said, what do you do that for? It's Marit Ayin. The guy goes inside a cafe on Shabbat. People think he's buying something.
Right.
So Marit Ayin, he says, nah, I'm okay. But suspicion. I don't care. But people, you're going to trip people up. There's another mitzvah, which is lifnei iver lo temishol. Don't put a stumbling block in front of the blind. So this is the way people's minds work. People's minds are always suspicious of other people. And therefore, we shouldn't give people a chance to be suspicious. People start talking, be lashon hara, and it's all because I gave them the opportunity to talk. So a person's got to be very careful how to operate in public, especially. So happened to me once. I was in Vancouver many years ago, and this woman comes to me and says, I'm sorry, Rabbi. What are you sorry for? What am I sorry for? Said, you saw me going to McDonald's. I said, I don't remember. I wasn't looking at you. I didn't know anything. Who went to McDonald's and go to McDonald's? But you were there outside, and I went to McDonald's to go to the bathroom.
Uh-oh.
Okay. I don't know. I never paid attention. But that's the problem. The problem is Marit Ayin. So the person's got to be careful. She thought I was watching her, and
She felt guilty.
You know the famous joke. There's a beautiful story.
We're also self-absorbed. We think that doesn't hold.
Yes, exactly. So a person is in his own dream world. We don't think about what's going on.
Everybody else is doing that. They're all, you know, their own.
Anyway, so let's. There's a beautiful story. There's a story about a new rabbi. He's a brand new rabbi. He's hired by the shul, big shul. And one day he's walking down the main road, and he sees there's a non-kosher restaurant. He looks inside, he sees his president is sitting over there. The president of the shul is sitting inside the non-kosher restaurant. He doesn't know what to do. He's walking up, walking down. What should I do? I'm a brand new rabbi. He'll throw me out if I talk to him. He looks inside, the president's over there. He said, maybe he's just sitting over there. He's not going to order because maybe he has a business meeting and then he's not going to eat. He says, the rabbi's ordering food. The food comes, plate of food over there. What's he eating? Looking through the window. Oh, God, he's eating chazer. Chazrain. He's eating non-kosher food. And he's eating, putting his mouth. He's eating it, and he's enjoying it. He orders seconds and thirds, and the rabbis go up and down. Finally, the guy comes out. The president comes out. The rabbi says, I saw you. He said, Rabbi, you see me from the beginning to the end? He said, I saw every piece of meat that you put in your mouth. And the guy says, okay, now it's under rabbinical supervision. It's all under rabbinical supervision.
See what he watched.
But you see how some people don't care. You can do what you see. I don't care what you see. But it's very important. A person should give the benefit of the doubt. But sometimes you can't give the benefit of the doubt. The guy admitted it. Okay, so we have a responsibility to make Kiddush Hashem. So we have to know that in the Torah, there are two kinds of Kiddush Hashem. There's Kiddush Hashem that Hashem does, and there's Kiddush Hashem that people do. There's Chilul Hashem, desecration of God's name, which Hashem does. How can Hashem desecrate his own name? How can Hashem desecrate his own name? He does things in the world which people ask. Say, how could God do that? For example, the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. How could Hashem do that? The truth is, Hashem didn't do it. It wasn't Hashem, it was people. You're going to ask, why? How could people do such a thing? How could God let it happen? That's the question. How could Hashem let it happen? Anyway, where do we find this in the Torah? So we have different sources over here. And the first source is Abraham Avinu. Abraham Avinu was amazing. Why? He didn't only care about himself. He also cared about? Who? Even evil people. Even the people of Sodom. Hashem says, I'm going to go, I'm going to destroy the city of Sodom. Hear that? And Abraham says, will you also kill the righteous people with the wicked people? Will you kill even the righteous people? Chalil Allah, he says. Chas v'shalom, he says. How could you do such a thing? How could the judge of the world not do justice? People say, hey, the righteous people kill, Hashem killed the righteous as well, the evil. So, imagine, Chalil Allah, the Midrash says, Chalil Allah, you're going to make Chilul Hashem, Hashem. Hashem, you're going to make Chilul Hashem. You're going to desecrate your own name by killing the righteous with it. See, the trouble today is we don't have good defenders of Jewish people. We need big rabbis who will defend the Jews in front of God. And that's what we say in our prayers. In the Tachanun we say, Anshe Emuna Avadu. People of faith we have lost. We have lost people who could defend us again with God. So that's the trouble. That's our problem today. We have lost this capabilities of people who are great people who would defend the Jewish people. Who defended the Jewish people? Okay, let's see. Where else? Where's Kiddush Hashem? Yosef. Yosef is Kiddush Hashem. Why? Pharaoh says, can you tell me what my dream means? He says, no, I can't. Only Hashem can. Only Hashem. And he says this 7 times in this passage. 7 times. I can't do it, Hashem. It's not me, it's Hashem. It's not me, Hashem. It's not me, Hashem. Until Pharaoh says, who's like you who fears Hashem? This man fears Hashem. We'll choose him. Wow. Then we come to the golden calf, right? They go worship the golden calf. And Moshe is pleading to Hashem. Hashem, don't get angry with the people. You took them out of Egypt. You know what the Egyptians will say? He did take them out of Egypt, but he couldn't bring them into Israel. He killed them in the desert instead.
Right.
What will the Egyptians say? You're going to make Chilul Hashem. Hashem, you're going to make Chilul Hashem. Can you imagine? Hashem is making Chilul Hashem. That's a powerful thing. So when things are not going well for the Jews, it's a Chilul Hashem for Hashem. So it's better for Hashem. Make Kiddush Hashem by making things go well for us. So the State of Israel and the Six-Day War was a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. What's happening right now, and Jews are sending rockets to the moon, it's Kiddush Hashem. Whether you like it or not, it's Kiddush Hashem. When we make the inventions, it's Kiddush Hashem. When Jews are behaving nicely, it's Kiddush Hashem. So it's a very powerful, this idea of Kiddush Hashem. And then this week's parasha, we just read. Hashem says, "Minigdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael." You will observe my commandments and perform the commandments. Ushmartem va'asitem. Ushmartem means keep the negatives. And va'asitem is do the positives. Keep the negatives and do the positives. And then it says, I am Hashem.
What does that mean, keep the negative?
And there's all the negative commandments. How many negative commandments are there? Quickly. How many people talk? How many are there? How many? 365 negatives. 365 negative commandments. How many positive commandments? 248. Let's go. Let's do it again. So remember it.
Say it again.
365 negatives. Let's do it together. 365 negatives and 248 positives.
Commandments.
Commandments.
365
negatives. It's very easy to remember. Just how many days in the week? How many days in the year? 365 days in the solar year. How many days in the lunar year? Quickly. How many days in the lunar year? Quickly. 354. 11 days short. And that's why every 2 or 3 years we add an extra month to catch up. Let's do that again. How many positive commandments? 248. How many negative commandments? 365. How many days in the lunar year? 354. Boy, that's good. How many leap years are there?
7 out of every 19 years.
7 out of every 19.
Yay!
7 out of every 19. By the way, someone was listening to the class online. They said, "Boy, you ask hard questions. How do these people know the answers?" So they're listening. People are listening. Baruch Hashem. People are listening.
Adina Aguilar's Kiddush Hashem.
No, you.
Okay, it's Kiddush Hashem.
She's the one who sets up so that everybody can listen.
There you go. It's good. People are getting merits. All of you are getting merits because if you weren't here, there wouldn't be a class. Very simple. So everyone's getting merits. Baruch Hashem. So that's Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem is spreading the word of God. And then we find Chilul Hashem. Hashem says to Moshe, take your stick and hit the rock.
Right.
What did Moshe do?
He took the stick
to the rock. Very good. See? Hashem said to Moshe, well, there was twice.
He did.
One time, just when the Jews came out of Egypt and Marah, he said, go hit the rock. The second time, 38 years later, he says, talk to the rock.
But the thing is, he'd already told him to hit the rock.
So take your staff, he says, gather the people, take your brother, and speak to the rock in front of everyone. Because this is going to be a moral lesson to the people that what? That even the rock listens to Hashem. What does Moshe do? He takes the stick.
He hits it.
He gathers the people and he says, Shimuna Hamorim. Listen to me, Hamorim. What's Hamorim? That's rebellious Hamorim. People, listen to me.
Ooh. Hamorim or Hamorim?
Hamorim with a hay. Baruch Hashem. Okay. He didn't call them donkeys. Hamorim with a chet is a donkey. He didn't call the Jewish people donkeys. Baruch Hashem. No, Hamorim.
Yeah,
I said Hamorim. I said Hamorim.
Pronounce
it. Hamorim. Is that good? Hamorim.
Hamorim is the teachers.
Ay, ay, ay.
Hamorim.
Hamorim. Mored. Mored. Hamorim. Mored.
Yeah.
Mored. From the word mored to rebel.
Hamordim?
No, Hamordim. Hamorim.
Hamordim.
Don't say Hamorim. I'm telling you what the Torah says.
Okay. Hamorim.
Hamorim.
Let's
have a look. Come and see.
Okay, I believe you.
Vakiru Moshe Aaron et Kahal et Pnei Hasela. V'yomer lahem Shimu na Hamorim. Hey Mem Resh Yud Mem.
Okay.
Hamorim. What's Hamorim? People who are rebellious. Rebellious people. Listen to me, rebellious people. Can the rock bring forth water? Can it?
No, he talks to it.
He takes his hand up and he smacks it. You know what happened? What happened?
Nothing
happened. He had to hit it again. He hit it twice. First time he hit it, nothing happened. Why? Because nothing was meant to happen. He wasn't meant to hit it. He was meant to speak to it. But it's going
to
be a Chilul Hashem if nothing happened. So he hit it again. The water came out. He stuck the rock twice, and then a lot of water came out. Hashem says, because you did not believe in me. Look at this, right. Terrible. You didn't sanctify me in the eyes of the people. In other words, if you do a small miracle when you should have done a big miracle, it's Chilul Hashem. It could have been a bigger miracle. Amazing, amazing. Could have been a bigger miracle. So it's important to sanctify God's name by us doing miracles. If we can do a big miracle, it's even better. If you can make a bigger Kiddush Hashem, why do you make a small one? Okay. So I want to go now to two special...
But if Gilda Noren is right, but if he tells him one thing 38 years before...
38 years before!
And then he
remembered
tells him exactly
it.
The opposite...
It's like...
Listen, you're a prophet. You're speaking to God every day. Well, God changes. He doesn't say the same thing over and over again.
Right.
You got to have a mind which is open-minded, not closed-minded.
But the thing is, he was like Piaget. He taught him one thing. And
he didn't teach him. He didn't teach him. He said, now you have a mitzvah to go and hit the rock. And then the second time he says, now you have a mitzvah to go and speak to the rock.
He didn't listen.
You know why he didn't listen? Rambam says he got angry. He was mad with the people. Mm-hmm. When you're angry, you're not paying attention properly. Because when I become angry, it's because of me. It's me. It's my ego. It's the only time Moshe Rabbeinu had an ego. Normally, he was the most humble person in the world.
Right.
When the ego gets involved, you lose your knowledge.
Yeah, but it's still a little harsh.
Were paying him in that level.
It was harsh on his level. On his level.
You heard that?
What was that?
The Jews were a pain in the neck.
Of course they were a pain in the neck.
Yeah,
we're a pain in the neck. Yeah. That's what, who said? Ben-Gurion said to Truman. You know, he said, Truman, Truman says, look at me. I'm the president of 200 million people. And Ben Gurion said, I'm the prime minister of 2 million prime ministers. They're all prime ministers over there. Everyone thinks they know the better. You know what I mean? How many parties are there in Israel? 30 parties. It's crazy. 30 parties.
Every time I turn around,
they think American politics is bad. Look at them over there, 30 parties. Everyone wants a party.
We have 23.
Everyone wants to be a boss. Everyone wants to be the boss. It's hard. That's what happens when you marry a Jew. You get another boss. That's why the Ashkenazim say, Bala boss. Who's the Bala boss? It's the husband of the boss. Hala Bala boss. You know who the boss is? Okay. I'm speaking to the bosses over here. What am I? Speaking to all the bosses over here. Okay. So I just two more stories. And this story is about Daniel. Daniel. Before Daniel, we have to go to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Who are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? What are the Hebrew names, quickly?
I don't know about what the real names are.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
They were the ones who were with him.
What are the Hebrew names? Azariah.
Zachary, wasn't it?
Azariah, Mishael, and three Hebrew names.
I don't remember. That's the last one. Was it Zachary?
No, it wasn't Zachariah. It was, I can't remember. Okay, well, maybe come back to me. Okay. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What happens is, the king Nebuchadnezzar, he makes a beautiful big gold statue in the valley of Dura. And he says, everyone has to bow down to my statue.
He said, you're not going to bow down.
If you don't bow down, I'm going to throw you into a fiery furnace. Everyone bows down. Now, when you're bowing down, you don't see it around you. You can't see who's not bowing down, right? Well, there were spies over there. And the spies said there were three Jews not bowing down. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were... They had jobs. He gave them jobs. They were part of his civil service. Let's just call them. Why didn't you bow down? We believe in Hashem. We believe only one God, the creator of the world. We're not going to bow down to any idols. So, yeah? He gets really mad. Heat up the fire seven times as high. Heat up seven times as high. Tie them up and throw them in fully clothed. Make them wear the overcoats. Can you imagine? I want them to burn really well. The strong guys come in, they toss them into the fire. It says they got so close to the fire, the strong guys got burnt. Three bundles are thrown into the pit of fire. Imagine, burning hot fire. And then he can't believe his eyes. He says, what's going on? I see four people walking around the fire. Four. Hashem sent an angel to support. And the king is talking. The king says, I see four people. His eyes are popping out of his head. I see them walking around. They're all tied up. Now they're walking around in fire, as if they're having a good time in the fire. Can you imagine? Says, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, come out of the fire. They came out of the fire, untouched, unsinged. Their clothes are perfect. They don't even smell like smoke. Think about it. It's a tremendous miracle, he says. He makes a decree. Whoever speaks bad about the God of the Jews, I'm going to cut them in pieces. Hashem sent an angel to save these people. Wow. The next story, the last story is Daniel. No one is allowed to pray to any gods except to me, Darius says. Darius, the king of Persia. Three 30 days. If anyone is caught praying to anything else, in the lion's den. And Daniel used to pray three times a day, facing Yerushalayim. He'd open his windows, he'd go up to the attic. It's very important to pray facing the sky. We learn from here, the laws of a synagogue should have windows facing the sky. How many windows? Quickly. We learned this once. 12. 12 windows. Why 12? 12 tribes. So it says three windows in every direction of the shul. Imagine, the shul's going to be built with windows. It's very important to have windows facing the sky. Why? So we have skylights over here. So if you don't have any... Oh, beautiful, look at that. If you don't have any concentration, you'll see the blue sky and think of Hashem, the creator of the world. Nothing better than blue sky, really. Beautiful. So that's why we have blue tzitzit. Why blue tzitzit? We used to have blue tzitzit. Why? To remind you of the sky, and the sky reminds you of the kisei hakavod, of God's creation. Wow. So Daniel went to the attic, opened the windows, facing Yerushalayim. For then we learn out, you have to face Yerushalayim when you pray, from Daniel. He prayed three times a day. We learn three times a day, you got to pray. So we learn from Daniel amazing things. He goes just like he did every day. The spies go to the king, Daniel, your servant. He was the ruler of a third of the kingdom. He was the vizier, grand vizier. And they hated him because he was powerful. So they go to the king. See, Daniel is praying to God. He said, can't believe it. Bring him here. He said, Daniel, you're praying. He said, yeah, I'm praying to my God. I believe in God who created the whole world. And the king says, I hope he'll save you from the lions. Let's see. They throw him into the lion's den. The king can't sleep that night. He didn't eat, he didn't sleep. He says, what's happening with Daniel? What's going to happen with Daniel? He goes early morning, he goes, Daniel, are you alive? He couldn't believe, you know, he's asking in a very soft voice, Daniel, are you alive? He says, yes, I'm alive. My God sent an angel to look after me. Mm. Takes him out, untouched. He says, throw in the men who accused him. Their wives and their children, throw them all in. Imagine. It says, before they even hit the ground, they were eaten up. Mm-hmm. And Daniel survived in the lion's den. That was a Kiddush Hashem. Tremendous Kiddush Hashem. So, Bezrat Hashem, we'll see many miracles in our day. Hashem should save us like he saved Daniel. And he saved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He saved the Jewish people. And that will be a Kiddush Hashem. Tremendous Kiddush Hashem. And we have to learn in our lives also to do good things that people say, the Jews are the best. God is the best. That's the key. Kavod Hashem. Kivud, Kavod Ol Shamayim. Baruch Elokeinu Shebaranu Kvado. Blessed be God who created us to honor Him.
Amen. You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.